Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week I bring on new guests who are experts in various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And tonight I'm very excited. Our guest tonight is Donna, a psychic counselor. And we're going to be talking about her experiences as a psychic reader. I don't know how many of you out there believe in psychic abilities, but I do, and I think actually they're available to anyone who is willing to pursue the spiritual path. And that's what our guest tonight, Donna, has done. She has over 39 years experience, wow, as a psychic reader and doing various psychic arts, I guess you would call them. She has been previously certified as with the American Association of Professional Psychics. She does her readings in a very spiritual way, using various abilities like psychometry, which is the ability to read the vibrations emanating from people and objects. Any inanimate object can be used, like a piece of jewelry or car keys or anything, which will tell a lot about a person. Tarot is another method that she's very familiar with. She has also many years' experience with dream interpretation and has actually done more than 20,000 readings recorded, both nationwide and international. She's one of the founding members of the Psychic Times, a metaphysical, paranormal, and eclectic newsletter, and has actually done ghost huntings using super or paranormal and psychic skills. So I'm very, very excited to have Donna on the show tonight. And if any of you would like to call in, this is a call-in show. Feel free to call in if you'd like to ask our guest a question. I'll give you the number now. It's 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that. The number is 888-228-4494. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Donna, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Hi, Preston. How are you?
I'm very good. I know it's much later for you right now, but I really want to thank you for staying up to be on the show tonight.
My pleasure.
So, when did you always believe in like paranormal abilities and life after death and stuff like this growing up? Or because I was a skeptic growing up.
Only
after my mom died.
No, absolutely. I was brought up in an environment where my mother read cards. She wasn't so much a clairvoyant or a clairaudient, but she did this as I was growing up. And I kind of grew up in that environment.
Ah, you're lucky. For me, see, I wasn't even exposed to it. So when my mom died and I saw her ghost and all this stuff hit me like a ton of bricks. I really envy people who get to grow up accepting this stuff, because I think it fosters the ability and allows it to grow. Would you say that that's true?
That's true, but you know, I mean, how blessed you are, Preston, that you got to see your mother.
That's true.
There are people out there that are researching this, that are going for, you know, anything that they can find. I mean, they're just like ecstatic over an orb, you know, and this isn't even, as far as I understand, a proven theory. But yeah, that you're very blessed by that. So did that convince you too?
You know, at the time it didn't. Actually, I thought I was hallucinating, even though, honestly, I have never hallucinated before or since, or ever taken hallucinogenics. But
right.
I assumed that's what it was. But now I know better, because I've had, you know, out-of-body experiences, in which I met with her. And she took
astral projection, yeah.
Right. She took me on a tour through to the other side, basically. So
that's
I'm
amazing.
Totally convinced. Yeah, it was
absolutely.
Totally transformed my life. So how did this all grow for you? I mean, how did you start from one, assuming that you were always having some psychic experiences?
Well, I didn't really realize it until I was probably about, I guess, 12 years old, and I had a traumatic experience for myself anyway, being 12. And I was with friends at a park, and I had gotten hit by a hardball when a guy was throwing a ball at a friend, and I guess I just got my eye in the way of it, and it had mashed my eye, and I had to heal for about 6 months. It took about 6 months for that, and I was in patches, one on the left eye to keep it from being strained, and then one on the right because that was the damaged eye. The outcome of that was that miraculously the eye healed, and I actually had better vision after the healing. But during that point in time, I was 12 or 13 years old, and I was like just, you know, I had to be in my room or in the house, and that's an age where you want to go to dances and be with your friends. And I was kind of had to be secluded. And I started getting this feeling that I could start moving things with my mind, you know, and I thought, oh, I know that I could do that. I didn't know then, you know, anything about telekinesis. But it just started getting stronger and stronger and stronger, so that by the time I was 18, healed and, you know, going into adult life, that I started realizing, hey, you know, I just feel like, you know, even when I walk past a person at times, I could kind of pick up like a vision or a feeling or even hear something.
Wow.
And, yeah, and it's just grown from there. And I was told back then by friends and family members that did believe and that did, you know, have more knowledge about metaphysical things, that the more you do something, anything, the better you get at it. And if I were to continue to use what it was I had, that it would get better. And I would say that I wouldn't say I'm better than anybody else. I would never, because it wouldn't even be true. But I'm better, much better than I was even several years ago.
Wow. So that's something I've often wondered about, because you hear a lot of mediums talking on TV, and it seems like their ability to communicate with the other side remains pretty level. It doesn't seem to grow a lot. I don't know.
Well,
maybe that's...
You mean when they're trying to... there's such as like the... I'll tell you what, the Natalie Holloway case.
Right.
Okay, this past summer, I happened to see it on Court TV. And I seen several psychics, and they were given their opinions of what their visions were or their feelings, and... I said, you know what, why don't we just take our digital and let's talk to her. And we've gotten some phenomenal things from Natalie. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like what?
Well, I'll tell you what, the bad thing, Preston, is that we started doing this in July of 2007, last July, and an email bomb hit our computer and wiped out the initial EVPs that we took. We have like notations of them, but we don't have the actual voice that people can hear. But we did start doing them again, I think September, October, and she's given us through this whole time. She's given us the name of the person that killed her. When we asked her, she did respond with that. She told us how she was killed. She gave us details on that.
Well, because recently there was news coming out about that with the kid who supposedly was involved.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, we tried to convey this when we found out to the FBI. But, you know, Preston, I think that they had gotten so many calls from people that they were overwhelmed and just tired of, you know, all the hoaxes or false leads or whatever the case may have been. So they never did get back to us. But we do have some, and communicating with those that have passed over, such as Sarah Winchester, it's an amazing thing, because we're actually, and like many other paranormal investigators, are actually, we're conversing with them. We ask them a question, and if it is at all within their abilities, they answer us. And we usually take that recording, we put it in an MP3, or transpose it to an MP3, and we try to get them on disk, and we try to put some up on our website. But it's fascinating. You know, you can communicate that with them.
See, it's very interesting, because the spirit world is very, very close to us. I mean, it's like right pressed up against us, and yet there's that veil. which seems to be being, I don't know if it's getting thinner or if people are piercing, finding better ways to pierce it, but being able to communicate on a regular basis, it's amazing. Now, electronic voice phenomena, how does that work?
Okay. You want to know the mechanics of it, the technical end of it? Okay,
yeah.
The technical end, I'm not really versed on as far as the specific, but what I would sense or see in my mind's eye is that we're reaching a dimension that is just above us or parallel to us, okay? And you mentioned just a minute ago about not being sure if the veil is getting thinner. Absolutely, in my opinion, it is.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I talk to people that, like yourself, that were skeptical about such things growing up. And most recently, a lot of people that would never accept this are very much into it or, believers. And if you look, just go on the Internet in itself and put in paranormal, it's just going to blow your mind with the people that are involved with it now.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, and so, yeah, the veil is getting thinner. Look around you, everything that's happening. And it points to that.
All right. Now, Sarah Winchester is the wife of the guy who did the Winchester rifle, and she built that house, right, with all those crazy rooms?
Absolutely. I think, 160-some rooms. I'm not sure the exact number. Yeah.
All right. So you were able to communicate with her spirit?
Oh, yeah. She's an outspoken person. I know to some people that may be listening right now, they're saying, oh, okay, yeah, right. But but I have, on my website, a clipping from the one of the EVPs where she first approached me, and she said, if it's not a problem, I'd like to have an appointment, which I felt at that time she was asking for a reading. So I, in fact, about a week later, sat down to what would appear to anybody else across the table from an empty chair. And I proceeded to read her. And right after that reading, I put on my digital recorder. And she did say, I'd like to thank Donna the psychic for giving me the reading or for that reading. And again, I believe that is on our website with the EVPs.
Wow.
And she also said, and it was preceding that reading within the same EVP session, ask Bill if he believes in psychics. Bill being, I would assume, William, who was her husband. And then I'm telling you this is the truth, Preston. And then she asked if I would get an appointment for him, if I would do a reading for him. She asked me in the very beginning if I would honor the deceased.
How interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is, and you know, for anybody that gets into it that much, that you would speak to people that have passed over, and that it's strange because I feel like I've become akin to her, like we've become friends. In the content of the reading, just as I would promise and guarantee anyone that I've ever read, I don't discuss it. I don't discuss the reading. I don't discuss anything we speak about during that reading with anyone, including my family, and I kept that promise to her. So there are things that we said within that reading and things that she referred to after the fact in these EVPs that I keep personal for her and I. But other than that, I have several of hers. And a picture.
Well, do you want to give out your website for people who are...
Sure. That would be www.voicesfrombeyond, and then the number 7, Preston, .com. Okay.
Okay.
And once you get there, it is a metaphysical center, so they can go to the section where they can hear the EVPs, or they can see about our psychic times. We have everything right there on the psychic or on the Voices from Beyond website.
Right. So, growing up and realizing, you know, that there's a wider world like this, and were you ever able to do telekinesis and move an object with your mind, or what was the step from going from, you know, it becoming a bigger part of your life?
What I, you know, I still sit here sometimes and I'll, like, you know, stare at a glass or something and just try to force that movement. I have made one time a rocking chair, and it didn't rock like really crazy. It was just very, very subtle and very slight, but it was seen by everyone that witnessed it. I can make things such as, I don't know, I have a ceiling fan and we have like this crystal thing that you turn it off and on with, and
right.
It kind of just kind of hangs there sort of like a pendulum would do. And I can sit several feet away and I can, you know, just focus on that and we can watch it, you know, move. It does not, you know, I can't get it to go back and forth swinging, you know, like crazy, but I can do that. But I don't like practice that as much as I thought I would when I was younger. These, you know, things that I do now, I feel where I use more of the gifts that I was given to help other people, and that's what I want to do.
Right. So when did you start giving readings? How old were you? And you've been doing this for how long? My goodness, 39 years?
Oh, yeah, right. it's been a while. I started when, actually, more professionally, when I was about 18.
Wow.
Around 18. Yeah. And it started out just like a lot of other people when they're first starting out, when they're starting to realize they have an intuitive gift or that they're seeing things and they don't understand it and they know things are going to happen before they happen, or they dream something and they dream it. And you know, I just started out like it was so elementary, and would just close your eyes and you would see like a vision of, you know, you're reading somebody and you're just seeing a picture of a horse, you know, and this is a true story. I did read a lady in the very beginning, and I'm telling her I see horses, and she said, I don't understand what that would mean. Why would you see, you know, I have no nothing to do with horses. And she called me like 3 months later. She said, I had to relay this to you. She said, you said you've seen horses. She said, my God, my husband went out and he bought three horses, and I think she said one was going to be a racehorse. She said, I would have never believed this in all my life, you know, a horse. What would that have to do with me? But, you know, I see little pictures of things, and it was hard for me to translate that into an understanding for my client, so I would just, you know, give them what I saw. But after all these years, Preston, it's like, you know, it flows now, and the energy I've noticed is flowing a lot stronger and a lot easier with the readings that I do, just in probably the last year or two.
Wow. Now, is it a spirit guide that's feeding you this information, or is this coming from your own abilities to reach out and you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, Preston, because I've been wondering that most recently. Is this my spirit guide, or could actually, as far out as it may sound to other people, is this maybe someone that is passed over that's like, you know, giving me this message or talking in my ear, you know, and I just don't hear it audibly. But yeah, I've thought many times, and most recently. After all those years of doing readings, I never thought it was a spirit guide that might be helping me. But now it could make sense.
Huh.
But I don't know. It's not for me. I can guarantee you that whatever I see, whatever I tell people, and when it comes to pass, that it's not me doing it. It's got to be coming from a much more powerful source.
Now, when you're doing a reading, do you just, like, do you see images in your mind's eye, or is it only, or do you also, like, well, you said you hear stuff. Do you feel bodily sensations, or do you actually see actual people walking around the room, kind of, you know what I mean?
I get it all now. Now it's more like it plays out a movie or a video clipping, okay? There are still times that someone will ask me a question, maybe related to their relationship or something like that. And it's not that often, but it does happen that I get a blank and I just tell them, I'm sorry, I don't see this. And maybe there are reasons why I don't, but I don't see it. But yeah, it plays out kind of like a video in my mind. And as I'm seeing it, I have to know how to present that to my client. Always, even if it's a negative thing that I see, I have to immediately associate something positive that I know or I feel very intuitively strong about that is going to take that place or comfort that negative thing or balance that negativity. I do feel things. I can feel another person's pain in some cases, not all. And I feel if the pain is intense enough that I can actually pick up on that. And I hear things, too.
Wow, how interesting. Well, can you tell us some of the more interesting readings that you've had, any that were just unusual in any way or interesting to you?
I don't remember anything that really stands out because, I mean, there's been just thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and I've read them all over the world, and I can't. The only one that I feel that is really, two actually, that are stand out in my mind are the two deceased, which would be Sarah Winchester, and then I finally, a week or two later, read her husband. They're probably the most unique. I don't know how many psychics have read the deceased. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but it doesn't happen every day, and they stand out in my mind, Preston.
What about, like, ghost hunting? Because, I mean, a lot of ghost hunters, they go in there with their electronic equipment and trying to detect the other side that way. But it's different when you have someone who's actually intuitive. So, and have you've done cases where you've actually been able to clear homes of ghosts?
We don't go in and actually do a house cleansing. We have at times done a little smudging. We're very careful about approaching the investigations that we do, because if one is given to us that has a strong malevolent character or feel to it, I prefer not to take my group into that, only because, and we do have someone that is experienced, an experienced demonologist. But I just don't want, you know, to really take that chance. I really feel that there's a lot of spirit going on now. And whether it's a positive or a negative, we're feeling this. And a lot of people are. People like yourself, you know, that at one time didn't experience anything or know anything or believe anything about it. And
right.
And now it's coming to pass. So the spirit world is getting very, very close. And so we try to avoid that so that we can avoid any serious negative repercussions. Is my group afraid to do this? Are they a bunch of scaredy cats? No. It's my choice. And so we stay away from that. We cleanse and we advise them how to do that and how to cleanse, how to take back your home. So we do educate, but we don't actually go in and chase out any bad spirits.
So what do you think about the whole theory of demons versus poltergeists and human ghosts and nature spirits? Are all of those different things, or are just people misinterpreting, do you think? I mean, your opinion.
Okay, and in my opinion, they're different entities. Okay. Spirits are actually different. Ghosts and spirits are two different things. Okay. Ghosts you don't interact with. You can't interact with a ghost. It's kind of a residual thing. Spirits, you can. So, such as in the case of Sarah Winchester or Natalie Holloway, you're talking to the spirits of these people. These people can speak back with you. They can try to appear. Poltergeists are stronger spirits, and they are capable of lifting objects and tossing them across the room. Okay? I don't know how one spirit can cross the line in becoming having the strength of a poltergeist, but they do. This is, again, in my opinion. And then we're talking demons. Demons are a totally different entity, and I don't feel that they're associated with the poltergeist, although they could be. And they are not ghosts, as far as I understand. But yet they can take on the form of a spirit. So does that confuse everybody? But that is, that's in my opinion, the way that I see it, the way I've learned it, and the way I feel it. When you said something about going to investigations, we go in, we do take technical equipment. We try to keep a good balance of those that are very sensitive. I have another psychic that goes out with us so that, you know, there are two psychics. We try to have two psychics at least on each team. We divide at least our group into two teams unless it's a really big place, and then, you know, we take more. But we do also incorporate the spiritual with the technical, and we get some really good results.
Wow. So what about your friends and family? How do they look upon this ability of yours?
As far as my being a psychic?
Yeah.
They've encouraged it. They've always encouraged it. And that would be even to my children and a couple of my grandchildren that say, you know, Mom, I think I'm psychic like you. You know, so we're pretty much, you know, we have an open and understanding family. And my friends, they're very much, you know, into what I do. I mean, a lot of the friends that I have now, Preston, that I've had for many years, were made by them coming to me initially for a reading. So, you know, they're in tune with it.
Wow. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you do all these readings for other people, but what about yourself? I mean, are you able to, you know...
read myself? No.
You know what I mean?
No. I mean, I can get intuitive feelings, just like anybody else can, about, you know, decisions that have to be made, or, you know, is something bad going to happen or something even good going to happen. But it's usually for other people, so I believe that my gift is not so much for myself, but for me to give to the world, to give to mankind, to give back.
Right. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Donna, psychic counselor. And Donna, your address, or your website, I believe, is voicesfrombeyond7. That's just the number 7, not spelled out, .com. voicesfrombeyond7.com. Is that correct?
That's correct, Preston.
And so anyone out there, if you're listening, you can go out there and check that out. I'm sure you'll find it very interesting. Or if you want to give us a call, here's the phone number. It's 888-228-4494. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, so back to the show. So this is something that you've pretty much made a career of, huh?
Yes, I have. I mean, I've worked other jobs as well, but I've done this pretty much, even if it fell back into a part-time category, I've always done this.
Wow, how exciting and what interesting and, you know, what a blessed job to be able to do something that's so cutting-edge and controversial and helpful.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Wow. So, have you had yourself, like, out-of-body experiences or dreams that come true and that type of thing as well? Or
Yeah, a little of each. excuse me. The only time, though, that I've had an out-of-body experience was involuntary. I wasn't expecting it. It did take place. I guess probably lasted for about 2 hours. I don't know. I didn't go to any particular place. Actually, I can't remember everything, Preston, but I do remember being pulled up towards the, like the planets and the stars. I know it sounds crazy, but I absolutely was out of it for like two and a half hours. And when I did return, I felt so revived and so refreshed. I really, you know, it was really an awesome feeling. I've been reading books on it, on the astral projection. And actually, what I've learned is that this is just like the when a person dies, that is an astral projection. It is a final astral projection.
Right.
Okay, And that is, they say a lot of people, when they have a near-death experience or they have actually died on the table and then come back on a hospital table, that they rose above themselves. They could look down and see themselves. And this is the experience, from what we understand, takes place at the time when a person does finally expire, and that, you know, the only difference being is that elastic cord, or that umbilical cord that always brings that astral projector back into their body, is severed, and that means, you know, once that is severed, they can't return to their body. The spirit cannot come back into the body. So, you know, that this, as we understand it, the astral projection would, the final astral projection would actually be that time of death.
Right, right. Well, you know, I asked because after my mom died, I started having dreams about her, and I read this book about astral projection, mm-hmm. and I got actually really good at it. And, mm-hmm. and I've been able to do basically that, turn around and see my body and see this, my silver cord, and it's really interesting. One of the biggest obsessions I had when I would get out of body is that I would try to move physical objects, which mm-hmm. I never was able to do, so I know the feeling of what it's like to be a ghost, or a spirit, rather.
And you know, it's funny because I was just giving that a little bit of thought today, and I thought, you know, when one astral projects, I wonder if they are like, you know, you see in the movies, like Ghost, okay, with Patrick Swayze, where when he first passed, he was trying to touch things and grasp things, and he was told with practice and with time that would come, and it did. So I'm wondering if that would be, you know, in the alive state when one astral projects, that they could actually eventually master that.
Yeah, well, I've heard of a few people who have. I mean, I've got books, lots of books on the subject, and I think there's three or four cases that I know of. And what's really interesting is, like, one guy was actually able to flip over a bed, so he had, like, super strength in the
wow.
astral state. And you know what's
wow.
interesting? When you're in the astral plane, I think this explains a lot of where psychic powers come from. This is kind of my theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you're on the astral plane, you have the ability to levitate. You have the ability to actually teleport. You have the ability to move objects with your mind,
mm-hmm.
and you have the ability to read other people's minds. So, like, telepathy and telekinesis. And if you exercise these abilities, they eventually bleed down into the physical state. Because that's what happened to me. I started having lots of, you know, paranormal experiences in the physical world after I would learn them in the astral world.
Yeah, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense, Preston, and kind of along the lines of what I was saying earlier with, you know, how I became more fluent with my readings. Because when I started out very weak, and, you know, I seen things, but I didn't know how to project them to other people. And you know, that's on this plane, in this dimension.
Okay.
So I can imagine those things in the next dimension, where, you know, the spiritual realm really is. Has got to have some phenomenal results.
Yeah, I think it's actually a much superior place than here. And, you know, you have a better body.
Yes.
It's a better world.
Yes. But. Yes. You know, and you know, when you're mentioning that, it brings me back to some of the EVPs that I've heard. And believe me, I've taken and heard thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And, you know, and it's strange. I don't want to get into a religious thing, so it isn't actually meant to be, but we have not heard one reference to anybody saying that they were actually in hell. We've never even heard the word hell mentioned as a place. And we also have heard, though, comments of people who have expressed a place that they call heaven. We have heard many people say they're in heaven, and for the most part, their phrase is, "I'm happy in heaven." Okay.
Wow.
So, you know, that's something for thought, too.
Well, do they ever say what their activities are and how do they spend their day? Because it seems like we don't hear a lot about what people actually do after they die. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I've wondered that, too. And I've questioned that, and I don't get a lot of answer on that. I don't know if they even know what a day is. You see what I'm saying? If there's any kind of a time thing. Do they experience a 24-hour day period? I don't think so. So I did ask someone in an EVP if they got to see their baby, and they responded in the next EVP as an answer by saying, I see my baby every night.
Wow.
And that made me wonder why, you know, nighttime.
Right. Well, you know, I think that people actually go out of their body every night, and they just don't remember it. And
that could be, too, now, but for those that are deceased, you know, is there a day and a night? I mean, do they have that? I don't know. And I have wondered what activities are there, you know, for them.
Yeah, I'm really kind of very interested in it because, you know, having these out-of-body experiences and going to, I guess, what you would call the other side,
mm-hmm.
You really wonder, you know, how people spend their activities. And I really kind of get a sense of, you know, how time changes on the other side because you start to see the future and you can visit the past. And it's all very, very real, and there is no kind of flowing timeline as there is here. I mean, there's only your perception of it, I guess. It's hard to explain.
Well,
every
yeah,
time I'd go out of body, I'd come back with these, you know, premonitions of the future, and you can visit the past as well.
Although I have not actually done it on a, you know, regular basis or done it more than the one time, and as I say, that was involuntary. I do know that when I came back, I felt very refreshed and very, very good. But I don't remember anything other than feeling like I was out there to where I could almost touch the stars. And I've carried a quote, "Reach for the Stars," most of my life, which was really crazy. But I can imagine that it would be quite an experience. And once I feel that I would be ready to do this, I definitely have to try it.
Right, right. Well, I don't think there's really any danger. Like I said, I think everyone does it every night. Because what would happen with me is I'd finally would be able to get out, and I would suddenly remember all the other times that I had been out. And I would meet my mother, and I would remember the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times I had already met her. But I would always forget it when I come back. I can remember remembering, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. But, you know, it's somewhere inside there where you're getting that emotional satisfaction from being there with her, meeting with her. And if it was meant to remember everything, then you should be able to recall it. So maybe it's not meant for you to recall that once you're back in your body.
Right, right.
Do you think? I mean, that's just how I feel about it.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I've certainly gotten enough verification that my mother is around. I asked her once to move an object, a specific object in my bathroom. I have like 3 brass statues. I did on my toilet. You know, little, they were heavy though. And she moved them all right. One day I was in my living room and they came crashing down. And I rushed in there and they were on the floor.
Wow.
So, and
remember you asked.
It was stunning, you know, it was really amazing to me because I've had other things like that.
And I can tell you, Preston, that you can know that she is there. I know this because of the EVPs and the experiences, and I know that, I mean, when I first started experiment with them so that I could learn about them, my mother came to me. She gave me very clearly her first name. And then in a following EVP, she said, come to Mom. And then in another one, she said, I live in the house with you. What do you think of that? Which I thought was pretty incredible. And it liked to knock me right off the chair that I was sitting in because I'd never expected that. Okay? she's been passed for like 21 years. And she relayed to me information. I had lost a brother several years ago. And she relayed to me in an EVP that she had heard something terrible had happened to him and made me wonder about that, too, as well, because my mother's deceased. We can converse when she's able to speak with me, and I do know that she's in the house with me. I feel her at times, and just, you know, we see things here. But it just made me wonder why she didn't how it took 2 years for her to say that she heard something terrible happen to one of her other children, and that she was relaying that information to me, where I had already known that for 2 years. So is time and space different there? You know, that's another question I have.
Yeah, that is very, very bizarre and interesting, though.
Yeah. We get some very, very very interesting EVPs, incredible things. And I'm sure any of the listeners out there that have done them, do them, or are experienced with EVPs, that they've received things that would probably, you know, blow everybody else's mind. But the responses that we get, like I said, they're some of them very, very plain and easy and to understand. Some of them are very, very hard to understand and very scratchy, and so we can sometimes only assume or use psychic insight and say, okay, intuitively, I believe this is what that person's saying. But sometimes, and in a lot of cases, actually, they come out very, very clear and very audible.
Well, I guess the theory is that the ghosts, being energetic, are able to influence the tape recorder or the audio tape somehow. But you're doing it digitally, you said?
Yeah, we use just a regular digital recorder. I mean, actually, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering if it was audio tape or digital, and how exactly they're putting their voice onto this tape, because you're not hearing it at the time you're making the recording, right?
Not always. And I've seen recently on the Internet where there's people that build these type of contraptions where you can actually hear it in live time instead of, you know, doing like we do in most cases, where, you know, you either have to slow down your digital when you're doing a playback, or you would put it on the computer and use different software such as Audacity or different softwares where you can actually alter it, slow it down. A lot of EVPs will come in to us, and they sound like, almost like, I don't, have you ever heard them come in, EVPs, Preston?
I've heard, you know, I haven't done it myself, but I've heard many examples of it. And, you know,
okay. Sometimes
it's kind of scary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it'll come in, most of the time, in a sound kind of like a crinkling cellophane, kind of staticky sound. And so we alter them and we break them down. And in a lot of cases, they do become audible once you slow them down. So they come in really, really fast. The speech is very, very, very quick, very fast.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and it comes in. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. It sounds like that mixed with, you know, your static or your white noise. And so with some of these computer authoring programs, you can push that white noise, pink noise, or whatever in the background so that the voice can come out into the foreground to make out what that is they're trying to communicate with you. But there are times when... I'm sorry?
Well, I think that's so interesting because that they're speaking quickly, because a lot of psychics, I mean, James von Praag and others, are always constantly telling the spirits to slow down, you're speaking too quickly. Apparently time flows more quickly on the astral planes, and the higher up you go towards, like, the, you know, the Buddhic and the causal planes, so to speak, or whatever you want to call them, time goes faster and faster until, you know, all of eternity becomes one moment, I guess. I don't know.
That sounds, that makes a lot of sense. That's incredible. And I would believe that. But they do, and then sometimes you will get a very... very audible Class A. We have one on there that I was trying to prove my belief that Merlin the Magician really did exist and wasn't just a myth. And actually, I believe that's my spirit guide. But I asked him if he could speak with us, and he has on many occasions. It's either Merlin or someone that is telling us he is, okay? But I would say the charm of the making sometimes before I would speak to any of the spirits, and I would just repeat the charm that on all enough books and so forth. And I was saying it in a very wrong way, I guess. I was pronouncing it wrong. And actually, in EVPs, I was corrected on the pronunciation in a very Celtic sounding way, how to do that, how to say that charm of the making. And we have one online, too, that says this is the ancient book. And we're still trying, it's been almost a year, and we're still trying to figure out what was meant by that. But that is, no mistaking, a man's voice, very clear, was never authored. It came through exactly the way we have it on the Internet. And that is what you would consider a typical Class A.
Wow. So this is, like, pretty much solid evidence of, you know, I guess the other side, or life after death, or certainly spirits or something. It's definitely solid evidence.
Preston, something is talking to us. Absolutely, something is talking to us. And if I'm crazy and losing my mind, then there are hundreds of thousands of other people going right along with me. Because we can do EVPs in any, at any given time, at any time of the day. It was once understood by myself, by me, that were certain weather conditions that would need to apply. That's not always the case. That is not always the case. So, I mean, actually, I've sat here in my living room, and I'm down around the Dover, Delaware area, if anybody's ever heard of that state. But I can sit right in my living room in this little area of a little state, in one little tiny portion of this universe, and I have asked to speak to someone that was deceased 24 years ago in Scotland, and he responded to me very clearly. He told me about how he died. He mentioned some things about his brother, who was a good friend of mine and lived in the UK at the time, and he gave me all the details that were verified by the brother the very next day. And very clearly in his Scottish accent, if you will, was very, very clear. So there's all these things that we're trying to bring into focus and to try to understand. Is this the voice of that person, or is this something that we don't understand coming from a place that we don't even know about, that's maybe entertaining us or trying to lead us to believe something that may be not what the truth is? I don't know. I mean, these are questions we have all the time.
Right. Well, this is cutting-edge research, and you're blazing a new path, so it's commendable that what you're doing. You know, the future of this has got to be something like a telephone to the other side, that you could talk to the deceased people on a kind of a normal basis. I mean, that seems to me a possibility.
Well, it is.
The way things are going.
That's what we're doing. My fiancé explains this to a lot of people when he, you know, tries to explain to those that have never heard of EVPs. He said, you know, the EVPs are like making a phone call. Sometimes that person's in and they answer you and they speak to you, and sometimes someone else picks up. You know, so you never know what to expect. I mean, we've gotten some EVPs where, you know, we're just trying to make a nice, friendly contact with, you know, someone that has passed over, and we get these really creepy-sounding yells like, I'm going to kill you, or, you know, you're going to die for this, you know. And we get, you know, we get some really creepy ones in there, like you had mentioned earlier. But it just depends who picks up the phone, you know.
So where do you suppose those are just probably lower-level spirits that have, you know, not been able to resolve their issues of, you know, greed or hatred or whatever?
Probably, because... Right. I believe that the strongest parts of any live human being in their personality, once they do pass over, carry those strong traits with them to the next life or the next realm. And so those that were, you know, mean and hateful bullies in school or whatever, you know, they're going to more than likely project themselves that way even in the next realm. And, you know, but we do, it makes you wonder, though, you know, what is the real origin of this voice, you know, and with every EVP we get, whether it's a really kind one, whether it's a child,
right.
You know, we've gotten them from toddlers before. even well-known people. So, I mean, is this really, truly their voice speaking to us? It's just an hard to really fathom, to really, really grasp. But we do it all the time, and it never ceases to amaze us.
Well, you know, there was that movie White Noise, which kind of equated EVP to, like, using a Ouija board and opening a portal. Would you say that it's dangerous at all to do this stuff, or are there dangers to it?
There's danger to opening portals to begin with. In my opinion, a Ouija board should never be used because you're inviting spirits, and it's very similar with our digital recorders, understood. But with a Ouija board, I just feel there's a little bit more of maybe a lot more negativity associated with that. You should be very careful. Anyone that's using a Ouija board, you know, really be careful with that because you're inviting some things. And like you said, you're opening doors, portals, if you will, that any spirit can freely pass back and forth through. But also that portals can be opened and they can be closed. And we do that. We open portals at times when we want to speak to certain people, and then we actually close those portals afterwards through kind of like a ceremonial practice, if you will.
Right. Well, I have to echo what you said about the Ouija board because, you know, I wrote a book about ghosts and having investigated many cases, and I would say a half dozen or more have involved people who used the Ouija board and invited some really bad ghosts into their house, and these were the worst kind that kind of tried to possess you.
Absolutely.
Really scared them really bad.
Yeah, and they're very powerful. Very powerful. And for those that are listening and they think that sounds exciting because, you know, it's really cool, I wouldn't advise it.
No.
Because there's one thing that a lot of people don't understand, Preston, is that the spirit world is actually more real than ours. And like you said, there's maybe a higher intelligence or a better way of a life in the next life after this one. There is no way that, and I know that there are human beings that can fight spirits, there's exorcisms, there's people that are qualified to do that, but there's people that are uneducated and just think that they're going to have a lot of fun with a Ouija board and it's going to be really cool. If they don't have the knowledge to fight that which may possibly come through, they're asking for a lot of problems.
Right,
so I
right,
agree with you there.
It's interesting. This whole facet of a EVP is especially interesting because it just occurs to me that there are probably a dozen or more cases where people have, you know, answered the phone and it's their deceased relative talking to them and they hold a conversation. And, you know, it's even interesting. I almost had a similar experience. I was playing my guitar, and suddenly my light turned on, off and on, just in a kind of a weird flicker, but it was much too long. So I stood up because I sensed something. I'm like, is there anybody here? I said it out loud, and at that point my answering machine beeped, a really long beep, which I can't make it do. There's no way to make it do that.
Wow.
So I'm feeling that was her. But some people have actually talked on the phone with ghosts. I mean, there's a book called Phone Call from a Ghost, which lists, you know, a dozen cases.
That's interesting. We haven't had that yet. But, you know, we have had times, though, that when there were several of us doing an EVP session, whether it was on an investigation or right here in our haunted little house, that we actually would get our response vocally, audibly, as well as on the recorder. We all witnessed it with our ears. So we heard it, you know, live as it was taking place. As a matter of fact, one of those was a response to a question, and I can't remember the question, but it was asked of Natalie Holloway when we were, you know, first doing these EVPs. And right through our back door, our kitchen door, we heard a female answer that question, yes.
Wow. Well, Donna, you know what? Our time is pretty much up. It's been an amazing hour speaking with you.
I've had a good time speaking with you, Preston.
Well, is there any last message you would like to leave with our listeners?
No, I just want to say that I appreciate all those out there that have listened, and I hope that they get to visit our website and check out some pretty neat things, and that we're also on MySpace if they wanted to visit us there.
All right. Well, everyone, you've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Donna, psychic counselor. And if you want to visit her website, it's www.voicesfrombeyond7.com. That's number 7, not spelled out, voicesfrombeyond7.com, all one word. And you'll find a lot of interesting stuff there. Donna, thanks so much for coming onto the show. It was great having you.
Thank you for having me, dear Preston.
Well, everyone, that's pretty much our show for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you can join me next week when I bring on another exciting guest, and we'll discuss a whole new subject about UFOs and the paranormal. Until then, have a great evening.